I thank the Finn Conference for accepting our abstract and allowing us to speak here today. There are a couple of names on the slides, but there are so many more people, and a lot of you guys are in the room, so thank you so much for your support, for coming, and for helping work on FLIP. So FLIP stands for Public Health Laboratory Interoperability Project. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. And I'm going to figure out how to advance. At the end of this presentation, I hope you guys are going to know more about the different flavors of electronic messaging, because that's one thing that keeps coming back to me that I hear is, so what is ELR, what is FLIP, what is, you know, what are the different electronic messaging efforts that are out there? And so I've tried to put them together in a couple slides, trying to make some sense out of it for you, hopefully. I'm going to give you a quick overview of what FLIP is all about and what we've achieved so far. And then I'm going to spend a little more time on the actual tools and deliveries and decisions on a vocabulary standpoint that FLIP has made. So the flavors of electronic laboratory messaging is what FLIP would like to call any lab-related data exchange between partners. So that's the big umbrella. And part of it, of course, is the electronic lab reporting, which is reportable disease related results from any lab, hospital, commercial, public health, to the local and state public health department. And then from the EPI on de-identified to the CDC. So that's ELR, and there's plenty of venues to talk about ELR and what's going on with ELR here. So glad to be part of those and visit those. Go take a peek. There's also, of course, electronic case reporting. So the electronic laboratory reporting comes from the laboratories. The electronic case reporting comes from the provider at the hospital. So when they see a patient and they suspect a reportable condition, they have to also notify the public health department. And of course, some of the case reports very often contain laboratory results, because most, at least on the infectious disease side, for the reportable conditions, you need laboratory reports to confirm the case. So electronic case reports will include laboratory reports, but it's not the same as ELR. And just for those of you who are not living and breathing the public health definitions, so there's reportable. This is basically a condition required by local and state law to be reported to the respective public health departments. And notifiable is kind of on the national level. So we've kind of tried to use different words to say where we're sending these results to. And then the nationally notifiable condition is a condition that should be under surveillance. And it includes infectious diseases, it includes chronic conditions. So it's broader than just infectious disease. For FLIP, we've kind of started just concentrating on the infectious disease parts. And I was pointed out that it should actually be nationally notifiable infectious disease, so NNID, but the slides are done. So it's going to be NND, but what I mean is the infectious disease part of it. And I copied those definitions from the CSD position statement, so you can get more information there. So what is FLIP doing? So FLIP is looking at electronic laboratory messaging, and the first use case that FLIP tackled was an electronic lab surveillance message from the state public health to CDC EPI. And the one we tackled was influenza. So that's the first one that presented itself to try our system and see if we can set up the connectivity and see if it works. Ultimately, FLIP's goal is to work on electronic test order and results, which we, you know, we like acronyms here. So it's ETOR, electronic test order and result. So for test requests between state public health labs and the CDC, test requests and results between submitters, so state to state or extended over to local, and then allow for test requests between state public health labs for surge capacity, for continuity of operations planning, and of course for reference tests, because not every lab does every test. So what FLIP is really trying to do is trying to provide a uniform way to get electronic data into these reports that are being sent back and forth. And one of the goals is to achieve that bidirectional laboratory data exchange, both between state public health and CDC and for local partners. And my previous co-speakers have already pointed out that once we get that data electronically, it will improve data quality and accessibility and improve the data sources that we have for active surveillance and develop and test future system approaches. So this slide, for the more visual view, the blue is what we're currently working on, state to CDC notification for the influenza, as well as state-to-state surge test order message and results for surge capacity for influenza. Those are the two projects we're currently working on. So the first phase of FLIP goals involves CDC and state public health labs. And hopefully, once we demonstrate that that's working well, we can expand to local public health labs and the commercial and hospital labs. So who is FLIP? FLIP are the public health labs from these seven states, as well as the laboratories at CCID. And we get support from CCID and NICFI, and of course, the Association of Public Health Labs. We have laboratory SMEs, and we have data standards experts on both sides. So the three pieces of FLIP. The first piece is, and as Dr. Lipsky pointed out, really, really important, is the vocabulary harmonization, so that we take all those different local codes that people use, make sure the tests are truly the same, they're just naming them something different, and assigning the correct standard to them. So that is really the biggest vocabulary goal of FLIP, is to get people to work together, to harmonize, to use the standards, and to then implement them in message guides. The second piece of the effort is to actually demonstrate that you can do it. So now we've harmonized all this vocabulary, we have the message guide. Now take this guide and actually make it work, make the messages flow. And the third piece is keeping track of how we're doing all this, so that we're creating and building collaboration and cross-project fertilization, so that we're not all sitting in our little silos working on our things by ourselves without learning from mistakes or learning the good things that other people have already done. So we're trying to reach out to anybody who's working on the same kind of project. So how is FLIP organized? At the very top, we have an executive committee. They have governance level decision power, and it's comprised of stakeholders. It's comprised of high level personnel from all four stakeholders. So we have CCID and NICFI representation, APHL, and the states. And the executive committee directs the steering committee's activities, which they're providing the steering committee guidance. Provides technical guidance, and is also includes voting members from all four stakeholders, and then the facilitators for the working groups participate as non-voting members. So work groups. This is where the work is really done and where we spend most of our time. And as you can see, we have several. So I'm going to start with the vocabulary and messaging, because that is what you're all here for today. And this group is comprised of laboratory and IT subject matter experts from the state labs and CCID, and as well as standard SMEs, and we're focusing on the harmonization of the lab tests and the lab results. So what we do, and I'm going to go into that a little detail later, is that we take one disease and we get all the SMEs for that one disease together to talk and to really look into the nitty-gritty details of things. And then the next group is the message implementation group, headed by John Lipsky. And this group was tasked with implementing the first lab messages, the influenza result reports, to CDC EPI. And they've been successful. We have four states in production sending influenza results to the CDC, and we have three more testing. and hopefully they'll be ready for the next flu season to send results. The state-to-state group is migrating to be the public health laboratory work group, thus including CCID lab members, and it's kind of a forum to air concerns and new ideas and get feedback on the process. How does it work for your lab when we, you know, ask you to apply these standards? And then we have the public health data exchange work group that's been working on identifying requirements for the architecture of how this network or the connectivity should work once we go beyond the seven states. I mean, it's fairly easy to manage certificates for seven states when you do peer-to-peer connection, but what if you want 50 states to talk to 50 states? It's going to get a little more complicated. And so that work group decided or suggested to implement an R&R hub, a RadNet Read hub. And so out of that grew the R&R hub implementation work group, which is currently trying to implement two hubs, one in Florida and one in Nebraska. So again, in a reiteration of goals, and we're currently working on the peer-to-peer, and this is our next step. And we are sending and receiving HL7 test results from the states to CDC. So harmonization-wise, our goal is to collect all the information about the tests and results for one particular disease and get an agreement on the library of tests, arrange them in a hierarchical fashion so that when you have, you said you had less codes for ordered tests and more for the test resulted, well, that's because certain higher level orders will produce other lower level tests. So we're trying to spell this out so that you can know when you have this order code, you're supposed to, you know, you're going to expect four or five of these resulted test codes to follow. We assign standard vocabulary LOINC for the tests and SNOMED for the results, and the delivery out of that is the test category spreadsheet, which I'll show you in a little while. How did we choose what NNDs to work on? Well, we asked the flip states and we asked CCID. And so we said we want complex diseases where we have to tackle the more complex workflows. We also want high volume. So far we've gone and covered about 70% of the workflow of the public health labs at this point. We have one state that takes the lead and gives us an example of their workflow for this NND and provides their data and presents that to the group of all the lab SMEs, and then they weigh in and say, well, we do this the same way or we do this differently here, and we try to get agreement. And then the core vocabulary team puts a draft together of this hierarchical order test sheet, assigns LOINC and SNOMEDs, and reviews it with the group. So what I'm going to go in a little later, and some of the, I think Dr. Lipsky mentioned that a little bit, is that there are instances where LOINC codes are not granular enough. And we actually have tried to get some LOINC codes, and we're told, no, you know, the concept is good enough, and we don't need to go any more granular. And the lab SMEs felt, yes, we do. And so in those cases, we assign flip codes, which we maintain and provide to Sundac so they can be distributed through FinBads. So just a timeline of when FLIP started and what we've accomplished. On the top here are the implementation steps. And on the bottom here are the NNDs we have worked on so far. So as of March this year, we have four states sending influenza data to CDC EPI. These are list of the NNDs we have already had SME meetings about, and they're harmonized, and in, at least in a draft category spreadsheet, they're not all approved, but we're working through that. And so the challenges. The devil's in the detail, as anybody who's worked on vocabulary and mapping knows. Both the messaging and the vocabulary standards leave room for interpretation, which is a good thing and a bad thing, maybe. So at least you need to really look at the interpretation that you want to use. And then, of course, there's a breadth and depth of knowledge involved, and most of the time, it doesn't reside all in this one nice little brain here that John put together. And so then you need to get more brains into the same room, and that's collaboration, which takes time. There's some technical limitations, and of course, most importantly in public health, there's competing priorities. So if you don't have money to go sit down and map, it's not going to happen. So the infrastructure is evolving. It's not the same. So here's a quick look at the swim lanes, as we call it. So these are our different goals that we're working on. And here's the vocabulary and messaging goal of getting all the vocabulary harmonized. Here is the state-to-state order, ordering and result reporting swim lane, and this is the current laboratory surveillance swim lane that we're hoping to add 10 new states to reporting to CDC. So one of the most important things, I think, and I'm hoping other people will find too, is that FLIP has come up with some tools, some ways to work together, and some ways to share the data. And so this is the toolkit I would like to present to you. The first, and it's heavily used, is our SharePoint collaboration tool. This is the main site, and I want to just point out that this is our little folder that has all the tools for just the influenza implementation message. And then you can see on the left here are the different work groups and categories. This is the test metadata collection sheet that we send out to the laboratories for each of the diseases that we go over. And it looks complicated, and it takes a little bit to talk to them about, but these are basically the questions we ask them. And why do we ask them these questions? Because you need all this detailed information to actually find the right loin code. Otherwise, you're just shooting in the dark. For each NND, what FLIP will create in the end is this category, influenza category sheet with a high level order or maybe a lower level order, and then the resulted tests with different loin codes or FLIP codes assigned to them depending on whether the laboratorians felt that they really needed to know if it was a DFA or IFA, where loin will only go to the immunofluorescence level, for example. And what we do then is we take that category spreadsheet, and we take our implementation guide, and we create these encoding guidelines. So basically, we say, okay, so now I'm the lab, and I want to report about this particular test. How do I do it? So if I say, this is my test order, influenza virus antigen detection on clinical specimen, that's a FLIP code. I give them the choice. This is for version 2.3.1, so the specimen information is still sits in OBR 15 here. I tell them what kind of value set they can use for their specimen source, and then give them ideas of what OBX2, OBX3, and OBX5 look like. So for some, of course, where they're high level, where they can be multiple tests, it will say just depends on whatever test you did. And then I'll, at a different point in time, I should have organized this so that the next one would be one of these options, I'll actually give them the option that they would report in OBX3 and then send them to the value set of results that we expect for that particular test. So that linking between the LOINC and the SNOMED that you said you needed to identify the reportable condition can be easier to figure out how it works. Because, of course, you can ask a generic question, you know, what color is the sky? And you'll expect a specific answer, it's blue. Or you can ask a very specific question, is the sky blue? And you expect an answer of yes or no, or maybe not. So another thing that we inherit, and I think we might have inherited it from BioSense. I'm not quite sure where exactly BioSense. We got this mapping workbook John Lipsky provided us to us. Thank you. Sundac. Okay, well, Sundac then. Thank you. So this mapping workbook actually is what helps the local labs to map their local codes to the FLIP vocabulary, and it includes the FLIP vocabulary. And Sundac was nice enough to provide this in a zip file download along with the implementation guide and the encoding guidelines to go out to whoever is going to join and use this vocabulary so they can do that. At the very end of this mapping workbook, there's one sheet that when you run a macro, it consolidates all these mappings, and then they can just import it into their integration engine. And here's a cover of our implementation guide that's been now tried and tested and is working. So I don't know how much time I have left. Okay. I'm going to try to get through a little bit of the nitty-gritty details. So here's one of the slides that kind of explains this is the loin cutoff. You know, their concept is immunofluorescence, and they kind of don't want to go into the differentiation between DFA and IFA. And so FLIP decided to create a FLIP code for DFA and a FLIP code for IFA. Here's another example of when we talked about Campylobacter specification and identification. Some of the labs to me said, well, there's two different ways you can test for this. And depending on which specific test you use, you could actually come out with different answers of what subspecies of Campylobacter you have. So I'm sorry. We don't. So there's another example where loinc doesn't go that granular, and so we call them subloinc codes, we call them FLIP codes. Another thing that we were discussing is, you know, the difference between a result, which is the actual observation of the test, versus the interpretation, which is most often what is reported out. And then we also discussed and try to come up with definitions for what is the conclusion versus a summary conclusion. So we decided that a conclusion derives from results and interpretations of multiple tests of a specific type for a single agent. And that would be your answer that you might report out. Versus a summary conclusion, that could be the main answer you get for a high level order battery of some sort. So no matter what tests you did, you're kind of summarizing for the clinician or for the public health official that receives that report what your impression is, your lab diagnoses. So here is an example of the different levels. We had a hard time finding an actual result for influenza that's influenza specific, but we have an interpretation, we have a conclusion, we have different subtyping tests that were done, and so we come up with a conclusion, and then we have a virus detection and identification, which is our highest level order. So the summary conclusion to that would be here. We're also trying to get a handle on the difference between panel and battery, because as we had many discussions, Tim Case and I, about, you know, people throw both terms out interchangeably, and so FLIP's trying to put a little order to that. And so for FLIP purposes, a panel is a collection of tests performed on the same sample using the same method. And you can look for the same organism or different organisms, but it's on one sample, same method. Whereas a battery is simply for ordering convenience. So it could be different samples, it could be different tests, but it'd be easier to order that way. One other thing that is probably different is that FLIP decided to use the XXX loin codes for any clinical specimen unless the test is only performed on one specimen. So if I have antibody tests on serum only, obviously we'll assign a serum loin code. But if I have a test that looks for influenza virus antigen on whatever clinical specimen comes in, FLIP does not use the slew of different loin codes per sample. We just use the XXX code. However, the laboratorians were very adamant that if you do a test on an isolate, it should be incorporated in the loin code. So we've actually submitted to loinc and gotten quite a few loin codes that represent the system isolate. We're trying to use as explicit terms, and we based our hierarchical approach on Steve Steindl's Introducing a Hierarchy to Loinc to Facilitate Public Health Reporting paper. And Wen Kai Lee was really operational, or, you know, he was the charge that set it all off to go that way. So we've had discussions about a culture really being a battery of tests. So we're trying to come up with some new terms. We're realizing that results are kind of coming in depending on what the manufacturer puts in the test kit, and we're looking at maybe harmonizing that so that the different terms for a positive finding could actually use the same language, maybe. And if you have any questions, you can email me or Michelle. Thank you.
We do have time for questions. Well, I have a question.
Okay.
How is it decided? Because especially with your sublink code,
okay,
it was usually involved in method specificity. Mm-hmm. To go with link subcodes as opposed to using the method attribute in the OBX.
Okay, so you mean OBX 17?
Yes.
Yes. Well, we've talked about that, and personally, my personal opinion, I would love to go and use the OBX 17 myself, but. A lot of the laboratories have looked in their LIMS currently, and there's no place to put that detail right now. So in order to go to production and get this influenza going, we had to figure out a way to convey the information without having to go through major LIMS changes at this point in time. So ultimately, I'm hoping we can overall move to, for the OBX segment, move to reporting of the LOIN code and then with a method detail in OBX 17, as long as that's supported by the method specifications. But for the order codes, you might not get there. So for the OBR4 fields, that's where some of the laboratorians also wanted specific codes that were more specific than the LOINC. So I wanted to be able to say, well, I want them to be able to order a real-time PCR, not just target amplified probe, because we did discuss the LOINC concept.
Sure.
So.
Any other questions?
Just one announcement. I think tomorrow, Tim is presenting about LOINC and SNOMED tutorial, and we also have a more specific vocabulary sessions about mapping and everything else in the community of practice, two sessions, Tuesday and Wednesday. And we also have a brochure from the CDC vocabulary services, especially for the states if they need assistance for mapping LOINC and SNOMED or any other issues, we can certainly assist with you. And Mary from SNOMED is here too, actually, so people can contact her for more information about SNOMED.
So if there are no other questions, I'd like to thank all the speakers, especially for everyone keeping on time. And we will now break for lunch. Thank you, everybody.